Good morning. It's 8:37. It's FLX Morning Tuesday, and that means we get healthy with Your Medicine Finger Lakes Health, and that means Laura Turbide's back with us. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Chad.
Thanks, as always, to Kimberly for filling in. So you must be picking out upholstery and decorations for your new, more spacious, more luxurious office that you'll soon
that
be moving into.
That is not the case.
No.
But I'm working very hard to just meet our amazing team and just be out and about. But no, yeah, not really that.
So remind us what your new position will be.
Oh, my new position. We'll talk about it as I get closer to, but I'm moving into out of the communications role. So the VP role will be, someone else will be succeeding me in that as VP of Community Services and the Executive Director of our foundation. And I'm moving into the Chief Operating Officer role as Frank Quart retires. So he's been a blessing and just an incredible mentor and helping me really learn. And then on top of that, we've had incredible, we have an awesome staff. So I've been out meeting them and learning about all the areas that have not been mine before. So we'll talk about that in a future show. But there's so much happening right now in May.
I want to start with congratulations on being named to Newsweek's America's Greatest Workplaces for Mental Well-Being. You're the Wegmans of hospitals.
Isn't it amazing? So it's wonderful. And so speaking of having great people, the way to have great people is to take care of people well and to help them be well and balanced. And so we're very, very proud. And as you can see, I think there's about three other hospitals in New York State, but we're the only one in upstate, only one in Central New York, Finger Lakes region. Albany was also on the list, but otherwise the other two are really downstate. So the ability to say the Finger Lakes region, upstate New York, Central New York, Western New York. So again, it's Workplaces for Mental Well-Being, one of the best in the country. And it just takes having, you know, hopefully listening to your team, helping have them find balance and being valued. And speaking of which, it's hospital and nursing home. Like literally we're heading into hospital and nursing home week. May is everything. It is hospital and nursing home week. Happy Nurses Week to all of our nurses out there. Yesterday was Nurses Day. Oh. This is Nurses Week. And then on top of it, May is stroke month. So we're here going to talk about stroke. And it's also speech language pathology week month.
Month.
We get a whole month. So May has got it all going on for healthcare. And we're thrilled today that we have a guest who's been with us before, but we can never learn enough about this. So this is Marie Barbie. She's our senior speech pathologist, has been with Finger Lakes Health, Your Medicine Finger Lakes Health, for 23 years, and really can talk with us about why speech language pathology is such an important part of the continuum of care we provide across all sites, as well as for those of us who may have an aging parent who's experienced a stroke and may need care. We may have a young child who has speech language development concerns that can be addressed. So it's across the lifespan, and I'm just thrilled to have my friend Marie with me again.
Well, welcome back. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
So we're going to focus quite a bit on stroke and post-stroke therapy, but we were talking before we went on that what you do covers so many different things and disciplines. Like Laura just mentioned young kids' speech development. I didn't even think about that. So talk a little bit about speech pathology overall and all the different venues that your department operates through.
Well, a speech pathologist can work with patients and individuals across all ages, from infants to elderly. In our medical setting, we mainly work with elderly folks, but there are various venues that a speech pathologist can work in, from a school setting, an early intervention setting, an outpatient clinic, an acute care hospital, nursing homes, short-term rehab facilities. We cover a wide variety of impairments, issues, disorders, and a wide variety of situations.
Let's talk about how you do screenings and evaluations. As an example, I'm a singer and something doesn't feel right, and I come in and I say, something's wrong here. How do you evaluate me and see what the problem might be?
Well, we try to ask a lot of questions. I always say that the answer is in the story. We work based on a doctor's order, first and foremost. So a doctor would have to recommend the person to us. And then we proceed with an evaluation of the entire oral motor function, the entire voice function. There's different situations and different parameters involved in producing a voice, producing language. We also work with patients who may have a cognitive impairment, different issues, parameters that we look at for that situation. So depending on the situation or the complaint, if you will, we follow a specific guideline, offer standardized testing, and go from there with our recommendations.
I remember we talked about this last time. Explain Lee Silverman voice treatment for people with Parkinson's.
Lee Silverman voice treatment program is a well-researched treatment program dedicated for patients with Parkinson's disease. It helps them produce improve speech and language and improve swallow function by increasing their vocal intensity. It's a very intense program working on voicing and increasing loudness with home carryover, and it's proven and well researched for the good results that it does produce.
I was surprised as well when I first started many years ago at the health system to see how many specific strategies and techniques there are. Not only at the time we were purchasing a swallowing chair where you could then do barium swallowing testing, I did not realize how much speech language pathology had to do with swallowing disorders, how you actually have equipment where you can actually see, also doing some of the voice testing, you can actually visualize someone's voice. So not only are the mechanics, but then as Marie has already alluded to, there's sort of the cognitive pieces of this in terms of how people connect or rebuild speech or reacquire speech if they need to. So recognizing that there's so it's not just literally a physiological mechanical issue sometimes, but sometimes it is, and sometimes it actually is more about cognition and speech and how that connection happens. So the complexity of it all, I think, was such a surprise to me, and that's why I think the training is so unique. And not only does it provide that variety across the lifespan based on what is that original root concern, but it also there's just a lot of complexity to what you do.
And that's what makes it interesting, challenging, and very rewarding.
So let's talk about that a little bit. How much of what you do is the mechanical part, and how much of it is the brain-to-mouth part? Specifically, in a stroke rehab, it must be a little bit of both. Your mind has got to send the right signals, but then sometimes it's relearning just all the basic motions involved in speech.
Well, again, it depends on the actual impairment that you're working on. If it's related to an impairment following a stroke, it's the brain sending the signals. If it's purely an organic voice disorder where someone has hoarseness due to excessive voice use, then it's just targeting the function of the voice and the structure. But with following a stroke, it's usually the brain acknowledging the signals and repeatedly practicing new pathways, making new pathways.
So how do you do that part in therapy? I understand the mechanical part, but how do you help somebody's brain make the right connections?
We work on repeated practice of whatever these deficit is and how it relates to their functional daily life. It could be, I can't think of the word when I need to. Then we will do word finding exercises, as well as teach what we like to call compensatory strategies, methods to compensate for any deficit or situation where you may not be able to perhaps think of the word.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago voice overuse. That sounds like somebody I know.
I was just going to say our famous radio personalities, not just singers, get these
right.
issues.
So give me a few tips on how I can avoid having to come in for therapy as someone who talks many hours a day and sometimes too many.
Hydration, breath support, humidification, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And vocal rest when you can find it.
Wow.
Marie, can you tell us about aphasia? People mention it a lot. They bring this up. You go into the hospital and someone will say, can you define it for us and tell us sort of what goes on?
Sure. Aphasia is a loss of language following a stroke or a traumatic brain injury. Language covers a complex area of our brain. It's talking, it's speaking, it's thinking of the words, it's reading, it's writing, it's understanding what you hear. Aphasia, we like to describe it as you've suddenly woken up in a foreign country everyone is speaking a foreign language. You cannot understand, obviously, what they're saying to you. You're speaking English back to them, and they're not understanding you. You know what you know. You know a key to a car is a key. However, you can't verbalize that bit of information. So it's very frustrating because your awareness level of the deficit is very high and sometimes very challenging to get your message across.
Now, I just thought of this, and I don't know if you've done speech pathology with other languages. Is it more or less difficult for an English speaker than other languages?
It's the same because language is all the same. Language is a system of rules and symbols and strategies.
One of the things we've learned over time, for example, if someone has dementia, for example, we've sometimes read and been encouraged, like, don't argue or push back, just sort of be agreeable and work through. So, for example, if someone is struggling to find that word, so I think about my husband, we always talk about he had chemotherapy many years ago, and we talk about like chemo brain, and is that a real thing? And sometimes he struggles for that word. Is it more helpful or less helpful to actually help someone find that word? Or is it very situational? So,
well, it's situational, but it is more helpful in helping them find the word by giving them clues about the word instead of directly giving them the word.
Okay. I just figure there's always those kinds of things. So those of us, when we have people in our sphere, how can we be most helpful to say, and obviously, physician order, we talked about, you need a physician order. But if there's somebody out there saying, you know what, I have been having these speech difficulties, or I have been noticing some things with swallowing, it would be their first step would be their primary care office, talk through some of those issues, and work to try to get a referral.
You want to finish up? You're asking better questions than I am.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm serious. That's great. Now, Laura mentioned earlier about swallowing. What's the connection between swallowing difficulties and speech difficulties?
Well, we are a speech pathologist is an expert in all of the areas that are involved in swallowing and speech. They're the same areas in your head and neck and brain. So we are trained and have a lot of training experience in that area. Swallowing is a big part of what we do in our acute care hospital, working on swallowing evaluations. We have outpatient modified barium swallow studies, which is a moving picture x-ray of your swallow, and we can really see what happens with the food once it leaves your mouth.
Now, we always talk about when we have the radiology people in that the tools are so much better. Is that the case with the barium? Do you have better equipment to get better images now than you used to?
Yes.
And we have services in Waterloo and in Penyon and in Geneva. So really, people have easy, convenient access to both some of the swallowing support as well as speech language services.
Yes, absolutely. We have services available at all the Finger Lakes Health sites.
And again, this is a specialty, so it begins with a doctor's referral from your primary care physician. And if you want to find out more about these services at any of the three sites, it's 315-787-4572, 787-4572. Marie, thanks. Great information.
Thank you.
Laura, thank you as always.
Great to see you.
It's good to see you. We'll do this again in 2 weeks. And in a few more, I've got to go see your new office. I can't believe it's not giant and spacious and well-appointed. 851 FLX Morning.